This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Melanated Faith Podcast. Today, we are talking to Dorina Williamson, speaker, best-selling writer, church planner, and bridge builder. In her new children's book, Crowned with Glory, she flips the harmful narrative of black hair discrimination on its head by telling a story of self-love and affirmation. This ode to black girl hair and black girl joy will inspire children of color and encourage kids of all ethnicities to embrace and love exactly who God created them to be. I don't know about you, but I love a great children's book, and Dorina is a phenomenal writer. You are going to love this interview, but you're also going to want to go and buy Crowned with Glory for your kids. Crowned with Glory is available wherever books are sold, and we hope you go and grab one. But before you do, why don't you tune in and listen to this interview that I had with Dorina? So glad that you're here listening to the Melanated Faith Podcast.
Tell everyone a little bit about yourself. We're so excited to have you joining us.
Oh my goodness, Faithful. I am a fan. I listen to this podcast. So it is always like such a moment when you get to be on a podcast that you actually are a fan, a listener of, a supporter of. So thank you so much for having me. I am a bridge builder. I am just a woman who was walking out the purpose that God had given me, and He sent me on a detour. I call this my midlife adventure. I'm a first lady, so my husband and I planted a multi-ethnic church 26 years ago. So that has really been my beautiful life's work, you know, cultivating a community of believers who center Jesus and love people across all the lines, racial, denominational, cultural, all the things. And so here in the South, that's been, let's say, interesting and crunchy at times, but faithful is He who calls, right? And so just been walking that out. You know, in more recent years, we've, you know, welcomed a lot of white parents adopting black kids and just people from around the world. And literally, as I said, God sort of gave me a detour and said, I have a new calling for you. And it was nothing I ever expected to do, but I love it. It was a faith journey and still is, to plant seeds for change that will cultivate young hearts, but also influence the big people that read along with the kids. Mm-hmm. And it has truly been a joy to walk a path that so many people cultivated and prayed and labored so that this 51-year-old black woman could, you know, do something that's going to impact the next generation and really give work that I would love to have read to my four kids when they were growing up.
Oh, this is amazing. Looking at Crowned with Glory, all I could think about was, man, I wish I would have had a book like this to read when I was a kid. So I'm so excited to get this for my niece so she can be reading it and just feel inspired and beautiful. And when I have kids one day, you know, buy them the book as well, because I really feel like you're doing something not just for children, but young black girls that we haven't always had, and that celebration of us and who we are, and that we're beautiful just as we are. And I love that this book is about hair, and you know how it is with us black women with our hair. Wow. So what inspired you to write this book?
You know, Faith, this book really began as seeds of thought one night years ago when I was wrapping my youngest daughter's hair. She's 18 now, so she, you know, is able to wrap her own hair at night, obviously. But, you know, when they're younger, black moms are coming alongside, and there's a picture in the book of a mom just helping her young daughter get that hair wrapped well at night to take care of that hairstyle. And so I was doing that with her, and I was began thinking about how, you know, I have short natural curls. That was its own journey for me of, you know, cutting out the relaxer and saying, you know, I've had this for decades and I want to try something new. And that's its own faith journey, right? When you try to do something, you know, that you've not done before with your hair. And then I thought of another daughter who, you know, also wore braids, sometimes weave. And then my oldest daughter that just, you know, you never knew what kind of new style she was going to rock. She was living in New York. And, you know, sometimes it was blonde, sometimes it was gray. So it was just whatever, you know. And then my son, you know, my oldest, he's got his own journey. So I just started thinking just organically about how each of us have rocked different hairstyles and different braid colors and highlight colors and the journey that it is. And it's a delightful journey. You know, yes, there are moments I depicted in the book. There's a sweet moment where Mama is combing out her hair and my sweet little, you know, lead character, Zira, she's got that grimace of, oh, this is not fun. And right. I remember those moments, the cousin taking out my braids and telling me to take them out along with her, all the things. But it's also been a journey of learning that I am good, that my hair is beautiful, whatever descriptor I use for it, it is how God crowned me. And so all of that sort of, you know, came together over a period of time, but the seed started that night and I just started writing and thinking from a spiritual perspective, how the Bible literally says that we are crowned with God's glory. And that means us as Black women, we too are crowned with God's glory. So I wanted to craft a story for us, you know, for me, for my daughters, for my sisters, not only for Black women, though, Faith, because, you know, just this week I was reminded in conversation that, you know, kids who are not Black are very curious about our hair.
That's right.
And they need to learn how to respect us. And we don't need to feel the responsibility to be the educators and the teachers. But a lot of our kids do need to understand that they can own their beauty and they can interact with confidence and they don't need to compare themselves with others. And so I know that this book can also give some inspiration and education for people who aren't part of our culture to have an opportunity to look out the window and say, oh, that's what Black barber, Black beauty shop experiences look like. Oh, that's what y'all do with your hair. Giving them the education that they can find in a book for very low cost, but with high impact. So all of that came together and it's just a joy.
That's amazing. And I think so many memories of even my own childhood, some of my fondest memories with my mom are the times when we were doing hair together. We had our wash day. She's doing her hair. She's doing my hair, you know, whether she was braiding it in a style, putting, you know, it in rollers or whatever it was really special, a time with her and I. And you just knew that that was the time you had to just sit still for what felt like all day. You know, if you're getting braids or whatever, I just knew I would be asleep on her lap sometimes while she's just, you know, braiding my hair. And it was a labor of love, you know, and it meant so much to her when my hair looked beautiful and I felt beautiful. And it was just a sweet exchange. And I do think you're right. It opens the door for other children who may not have, you know, any context for what our hair looks like or, you know, in terms of like, hey, this is what happens when we're doing on wash day. Hey, this is what happens when we're going into the, you know, beauty salon. And, you know, sometimes those things aren't as, you know, knowledgeable or readily available for people to kind of like understand. And I think it's really great that kids will be able to see like, oh, that's how that works. That's awesome. And it's something to celebrate rather than to compare and say, oh, well, your hair's not as good as mine. Or for even other kids, you know, to feel like, well, my hair's not as good as theirs. It's we can celebrate one another, which I think is something that's really important and that kids and even adults alike will get from this book. Okay, so there's one thing you've been burning, a question I've been really, really wanting to ask you, which is, why do you think it is important to have diverse children's literature, especially in the Christian space, I would even say, because I feel like it's lacking even more so once you like niche down when you talk about children's literature. So I would love to know, you know, what's the fuel, the fire that keeps you going?
Yes, that is such an important question. And that's actually what fuels my work because I am a Black woman created in the image of God. And I struggled to find books when my children were young. My oldest is 28 now. And it was better than it was when I was growing up, but it was still hard to find books that both reinforce our Blackness, that reinforce the beauty that we are crowned with, and books that also honored our faith. Mm. And I'd have to compartmentalize often. And that's just what I did. We do what we have to do, right? So I really feel like I am writing books that bring all of that fullness together, that say, yes, I love Jesus and I love myself. And all of that can be represented in a book. And so this world is growing more and more multicultural. And, you know, there are still spaces where children don't ever interact with anyone outside of their race and culture. Mm-hmm. Most of us as African Americans have had experiences with people of other cultures. So we've just had those, you know, organic learning moments. You know, my 18-year-old was just telling me she got her hair rebraided this week and tried some kind of blondish streaks in there for the first time. She usually goes with golden browns and blacks. And she was just like, you know, I'm gonna try something different. And she was like, Mom, this white boy at school was just asking me questions. And he wasn't trying to touch her hair, but he was like, just really fascinated. Like, okay, I'm trying to understand. And I listened to her and I said, you didn't feel that you were responsible for educating him? She was like, oh no. And she was like, it was cool. You know, he was respectful, but I could just tell he was like trying to understand why my hair looked different than it did a few days ago. And so, you know, even things like that, you know, maybe that guy has not had Black friends, or maybe he's only had male friends, and you know, men's hair doesn't always have the same journey as women's in terms of it being dramatically different, right, you know, from one day to the next. And true. So, you know, maybe he's just never had an opportunity to interact or ask a Black woman some questions about her hair. And again, I emphasize, we know, we own, we've all learned that we are not responsible for being the educators or the teachers. But we also, our children especially, are continuing and growing more opportunities to interact with kids who don't look like them. And so books are such a powerful way to plant seeds. Educator Rudine Sims Bishop talks about the literary windows and mirrors and how kids need those mirrors, especially our kids, because we've not had as much representation in books. So we need those precious mirrors that our babies can look at and see their brown beauty and be, you know, reminded and have reinforced that they are made in the image of God and they are beautiful. They are good. But then other children also get to have those literary windows where they get to see out and learn about other cultures. Right. You know, not everyone can afford to travel around the world. Certainly in our own communities, we should be intentional about, you know, exploring and learning and growing. And I'm grateful to be growing and learning about other cultures as well. But books are such a great way, a great tool, especially for young children whose minds and hearts are so impressionable. Right. And so it's a power. It's a very precious stewardship that I believe God has given to me and that we all have, like you said, as an auntie, for those who are, you know, neighbors, those who, you know, interact with kids at their churches, in their communities. Virtually all adults interact at some point in their lives with children. And so books are just a great tool to be able to plant those seeds and not to have to spend a lot of money to do it.
That is, you know, so
it's
true.
A small investment with big impact.
Yes. It really is a small investment with big impact when you think about it, you know, and you think about the books that have shaped you as a child and what inspired you. And so, you know, I think oftentimes when people are in that phase of learning and growing, especially if they're, you know, not a Black person and they're trying to understand culture and cultural context and, you know, what am I supposed to do? How do I introduce my kids to new things? You know, and there's so many, you know, a flurry of questions, but I really believe, like you're saying, literature is a great place to start and it's not expensive. But I want to know, you know, something from you in terms of when you're talking about building a diverse and an inclusive community and celebrating diversity. And you have a lot of experience doing that with your church. But what does that tangibly look like for people? Like, how can people really move into building more inclusive communities?
Such an important question. It is one step at a time. You know, those who are listening to this podcast, certainly, you know, Black women, Black people who are listening, supporting the work of Black creatives, you know, is so important. And I'm grateful to see that highlighted in Black History Month and beyond. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, looking at their contacts and saying, who am I learning from? Mm-hmm. Who is influencing my thought? You know, for me, learning from, you know, Asian Americans, Korean Americans, East Indian, you know, friends, you know, it has opened my eyes to things that, quite honestly, I was ambivalent about before. But now that I have relationships with them and I'm learning and listening to them, I'm hearing their pain. So when things happen, I'm looking to them to understand. I'm sharing the resources that they are passing along to me. You know, we like to use this term, God's diverse kingdom. And in God's diverse kingdom, we are equally honored and celebrated. And so, you know, again, our world is growing more and more multicultural. And so to those who are not Black, who are listening, I would say that honoring, you know, that work that has been done far beyond either of mm-hmm. us and will continue when we are no longer here, but honoring that work, amplifying those voices, you know, again, just looking at their bookshelves, looking at the podcasts, looking at the restaurants they eat at, looking at what do you choose to do when your children have a school break? Mm. You know, when you've got some auntie time to take them somewhere, do you make some deliberate choices to seek out, you know, museums and places in your community that, you know, speak to, you know, cultural experiences? You know, I just found out in our town that the National Museum of African American Music is having free Wednesdays during Black History Month.
Oh, that's great.
And we've already gone and taken people from out of town. But Chris and I were like, all right, next Wednesday, let's look at our schedule for February, because we want to take advantage yeah. of, again, this free opportunity to be reminded again, because we need them over and over, just like children need lessons over and over. So continue to be intentional. Nothing important happens without us putting forth effort.
That's right.
So we have to do that and keep that rich representation in front of our children. It's so important.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So when you think about your life and your career and writing children's books, do you think that that is something you can see yourself sowing seeds into and doing for many more years to come?
I certainly hope so. It is such a joy. You know, I've told many people that writing for children has brought out a childlike wonder in me. Mm. And I literally feel like I have I've tapped into my inner child all the more, which is not only a sweet thing at my age, but it's also dear because it's a spiritual thing too. You know, the Bible speaks of us as dear children, you know, as beloved. And so, you know, interacting with children just reminds you of the promise that is before all of us, because they are just wide-eyed and eager. You know, I'm grateful to have some school visits beginning to open back up as we're still navigating this pandemic, but you know, opportunities to interact in safe ways with kids. And I'm so grateful because children keep it real. Mm-hmm. You know, if your hair is sticking up, they tell you,
it's
you
so
know,
true.
You're an auntie, you know, they gonna tell you your breath stinks.
It's true.
You got some food on your face. You know, they're going to ask you, they don't have a filter. Mm-hmm. They're learning, they're growing, right? We're guiding them, but they are open. And so it's a joy. It's a stewardship. I take it very seriously because God has given me the opportunity to plant seeds in really precious young hearts. And I hope that for many years to come, as long as my brain is working right, as long as I can think straight, I'm excited about the projects to come. I have a Juneteenth project coming in May, so that's exciting. And then a project featuring a brown baby Jesus coming
yes.
in the fall. So, you know, I hope to be able to continue to give representation for us, for our beautiful melanated selves, and also to give inspiration for children of all ages, and especially as aunties and uncles and grandparents read alongside, they're going to get that influence as well.
That's amazing. And I love that you talked about how it brings out that childlike nature and playfulness even within you. I love children. I've always loved children. I'm a big kids person. And one thing I love about them is the way that they see life so simply. And whenever I feel really stressed, I go visit my brother and I go hang out with the kids because I feel like life for them is so simple, and it is. And I love just experiencing life through their eyes. And it inspires me, it changes me, it challenges me, it softens me. And I think that we can never underestimate the beauty and the gift that children possess, the gifts they are to us and into this world, and what responsibility we have to help cultivate that beauty within them. And so everything you're saying just resonates with me.
Oh, that's so, so powerful. And you are right. I mean, it is a responsibility. And I really, you know, call that out for all of us, you know, whether it's specific as an auntie, as a grandparent, as a mom, as a teacher, as a kid ministry leader, you know, whether it's at the forefront, you know, directly impacting the lives of children, or it's you know, on the side, we all have those responsibilities to give them an example worth following. And it's a good reminder that they are watching us. You know, I mean, if parents are cussing and fussing, then those little kids start repeating those
That's
words.
That's right.
You know, I mean, they learn what they are seeing. And so it's an honor. I mean, you know, sometimes people have kind of thrown a little shade, and I get it. It's kind of like, okay, it's nice you're writing for kids, but when are you going to write other stuff? What mm-hmm. are you? And I kind of look at them, and I kind of, you know, depending on the mood, I temper myself, take a deep breath before you respond. But I remind them that Jesus centered children.
That's right.
You know, when his disciples were arguing about greatness, and they were tripping often about who was great and who had the lead and who was more important than the other, and he would center a child.
That's right.
So to have the opportunity to give work that's going to center children, and as you said, the softness and the love and the simplicity that they bring mm-hmm. out is really a joy. And so I hope that God continues to give me open doors and opportunities, and I want to just be faithful with what he's given me to do.
That's so good. People should never minimize writing for children or children's books, because they have such a lasting impact. We all know how pivotal childhood is, and that stage of development is so crucial, and it really impacts what the rest of your life is going to look like and how you interact with the world based on how you've been socialized and what you've experienced. And so I am just so grateful that you are continuing to put books in the world that are inspiring and uplifting children and adults all over the world. My last question to you, which is the question that we like to ask people, especially during these trying times, what are you hopeful for right now? What keeps you hopeful?
Oh, that's such a good question. As I take a deep breath and think, what does keep me hopeful? You know, Black History Month is such a rich opportunity to remember. And I find that remembrance is so important. It is a theme, you know, as someone who loves the Bible, it was a constant theme to the Jewish people to remember, to be honest with their children about their history, to teach their children that they were slaves in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this season where in my state, there's so much effort to try to cancel and erase and soften history, make it more palatable for, you know, white fragility and, you know, all the things. Remembrance is all through scripture. It's all through, you know, the Jewish faith of which we are grafted in as Christians, as Gentiles. And so remembering the beauty and the power that my people have always had, that Black history began with us being made as image bearers. And Adam and Eve were created in Eden, which was in Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, these things that we get to call ourselves back to remembrance, to understanding, and then to pass that on. So I think as we're recording this, that's what keeps me encouraged, is remembering those who forged a path, that I am not a silo, and that I'm walking a path that many others paved and continue to labor on my behalf. Mm. And that reminds me to be worthy of their sacrifices and to seek to do the same.
Oh, that's such a good answer. Remembering is so sacred. And in remembering and seeing how people endured, how my ancestors have endured, it keeps me hopeful. Because I feel like if they could, then so can I. If they can press on anyhow, I can too.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Melanated Faith podcast. We are so grateful that you took time to just share with everyone about Crowned with Glory. And why don't you let everyone know, we're going to include it in the show notes, but why don't you let everyone know where you can find your book and then also where they can find you on social media?
Yes. Well, I would love for people to support Crown with Glory, celebrating Black girl hair and Black girl joy. So wherever books are sold, I always encourage people to support Black bookstores, buy local. You can follow me at DarenaWilliamson.com. I am most active on Instagram, but I float over to Twitter, and I'm on Facebook too because my mom was there. So, you know, yeah. I got to do some Facebook time as well. And yes, just so grateful. Would love to see kids tagged with the book. Love already seeing people share their Black hair journey and just the awesome, fun way that is to social media to give those windows and just that camaraderie that it is with our sisters to talk about how we've journeyed with our hair. So those tags are so special and super encouraging for me.
Okay, so there's no co-op sis this week, but y'all, that interview, I loved talking to Darena. She's absolutely amazing. If you enjoyed this episode and any of our other content, I would love if you go on Apple and you review our podcast, like and subscribe. If you want to help support us financially and what we're doing here on the Melanated Faith podcast, tell your family and friends about us. Hang out over on Patreon, and we would love to connect with you there. We do special bonus episodes and series over there, and it's just more of a place for you to connect with us on a more granular level. Thank you so much for supporting Melanated Faith, and thank you for being a part of this community. We'll see you next time.